Forte. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the regular meeting of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, the Mahoning Region. My name is Dr. Amy Horn, and I am the board chair. And it's wonderful to have you all in the room this morning. Your comments, ideas, and participation always help us make better decisions. So thank you for coming to our meeting today. At this time, I would like to introduce the other members of the regional board. Over here, we have Don Jardine from Markleyville, and next to him is Eric Sandell from Truckee, and on my other side here is Keith Dias from Rosenwald. And our other two board members, Kimberly Cox from Hellendale and Peter Pumphrey from Bishop, are unable to join us for this meeting. The executive officer is Patty Keegan. Do you please introduce the staff?
Hi, we have two. Good morning again, everyone. We have Laura Kemper in the audience, our assistant executive officer, and Paul Rushing, next door to Doug Smith, our division manager from Tahoe, Scott Ferguson, also our division manager from Tahoe, and Mike Plaziak, our division manager from our Victorville office. We have Ed Hancock in the audience, and our Bob Larson, you will hear from a little bit later, Kathy Poole, you'll hear from also later, Bruce Warden, Alan Miller, Mr. Doug Cushman, and I'm surprised if I forgot anyone. Dale Kambich and Amber Hope are clerks for today, and Kim Beamer, our legal counsel. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The regional board will be considering several items during this meeting, and we encourage your input so that any decisions you make will be based on all available information. If you wish to speak on an agenda item, as some people have already done, please fill out an orange card. You can find them on the table in the back of the room. Give the card to either Amber or Daryl, and indicate which item you wish to speak on, and we will call on you. I ask that you be respectful to all people in the room. Everyone's voice should be heard. We encourage all viewpoints. Please communicate your ideas clearly and efficiently. If you have written materials as part of the agenda, please give copies to Amber and Daryl, and we will have them for our records. Let's see. Oh, this is new language here. We want you to be aware of your due process rights. If you do not agree with an action or inaction of the regional board, you may petition the State Water Resources Control Board to review our decision. The board must receive the petition within 30 days of the board's action, and our staff can help you find copies of regulations and petition forms if you wish to do that. And you can also find that information on the State Water Resources Control Board's website. So good morning. Thank you for coming today. Our first item is the public forum, and I have one speaker card from Rick Wynn.
Good morning, members of and staff to the board. My name is Rick Wynn. I'm president of Sierra Ecosystem Associates. I'm here today with Dr. Lars Anderson. We're going to give you about a 15-minute presentation on the Tahoe Keys Property Owners Association Integrated Management Plan to bring the aquatic invasive weeds there in the lagoons under control. With us here today, we have the Tahoe Keys Association President, John Larson, and we're pleased that he was able to join us today, and we're here to hopefully bring you up to speed on where we're at and where we're going. See if I can, is it the right click, or is it the up button? I'll try
hold
the right
on.
Click.
Here. Hold on, I've got to get it up here first.
Yes. Give it a second. It's a slow responder.
It should be. No, she's a second.
Oh, I got it. I got you. And then the lift button. Is that? Okay, great, thank you. Great, thank you. What I would like to do is to go through rather quickly a few slides that provide some background just to bring us all up to speed on the scope of what we're talking about. And then the second half of the presentation, I'll be turning it over to Dr. Larson to talk about the specifics of some of our activities today. The Tahoe Keys, I think everyone is pretty familiar with. We are talking about three main water bodies, the West Lagoon, the East Lagoon, which includes the largest commercial marina on the lake, and Lake Tlac at the south end of the Tahoe Keys. This graph shows the amounts of invasive weeds that have been harvested since harvesting first began in the mid-80s. For us old-timers, and those of us who are familiar with the Keys, for the first couple of decades, the waterways were rather clear and were free of invasive weeds. It wasn't really until the mid-80s or so that the weeds got a good foothold, and then since then, I think we all know the story of how we got to where we are today. In 2014, the Lahontan Board issued a waste discharge requirements permit that focused on working with the Tahoe Keys Association to bring the aquatic weeds under control. There are several purposes or content of the permit that include basically a series of data collection and studies and annual reporting that would allow us to systematically work towards evaluating and identifying the best control methods and then implementing those control methods over time to bring the weeds under control. One of the key features of the WDR's permit includes implementing a plan, designing and implementing a plan on the land side to work with the property owners themselves on improving water quality that will help us reduce the habitat conditions for the invasive weeds. In the WDR's permit, there are a series of annual reports that are required, and those include the integrated management plan itself, a report that we are to prepare annually on the status and progress related to a bottom barriers program that the property owners can implement. Up to 5 acres, as you may know, up to 5 acres annually can be installed and removed. The preparation and implementation of a non-point source water quality management plan, which is that cultural side, the land side, and working with the homeowners. And lastly, annual weed surveys. Now, one of the big features of this program, and part of what you'll hear as a theme today, is that these studies that we're undertaking right now are part of kind of a year-to-year adaptive management approach to looking for those best methods and ways to bring the weeds under control. So there has been significant progress to date, including work prior to the WDR's permit, and that includes an extensive collaborative effort that was undertaken from 2011 through 13 with TRPA and TRCD, which included testing of various designs and sizes of bottom barriers. It also includes the board's recent action to ban entirely phosphorus-containing fertilizers from use within the association jurisdiction. Some of the other items of progress that have been achieved to date include working with the league to label all the storm drains, working with the association's landscaping companies to implement water conservation and more efficient water management practices, developing and implementing various infiltration gardens within the common areas, and lastly, last year we implemented a 2-year very extensive public information and education program where we are working with all of the homeowners to both make them more aware of and also to get them to more widely adopt best management practices within the Keys. Now, you may remember that August of last year, we published the first draft of the integrated management plan. From that plan, from that draft, we posted it and opened a 45-day comment period, which we ended up extending and ended up receiving comments all the way through December of last year. We received over 60 written comments, as well as numerous other comments through email and other media. As a result of that extensive input, we have been evaluating and have concluded that there is a need to do some additional both research as well as field trials of a number of control methods because of the extent and scope of the comments that were identified as a result of that draft plan. In January of this year, the Association's Water Quality Committee made a recommendation to the board that certain specific actions should be undertaken this year and next year to further investigate those comments that were submitted on the Integrated Management Plan. Last month, the board authorized an additional $520,000 of funding in order to undertake these additional research and field activities. We're currently implementing those activities this month, and those will be going through September for this year. And there are plans, and this will be subject to funding availability and other results that we'll be obtaining at the end of this year on the results of 2016 studies, but we'll be working towards conducting additional studies next year. At the end of this year, we'll take the results of our studies from 2016, update our integrated management plan, and submit it in January. And in that January submittal, we'll be identifying what we think we'll want to try to undertake next year. So what I'd like to do briefly here is just give you a review of the additional research activities for this year, and then I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Anderson to discuss the field activities. So this is a quick list of the additional research that's underway, and this includes picking up really where that comprehensive research program was undertaken from 2011 through 13, going back and consulting with other entities that have similar settings or water bodies that are similarly trying to control weeds, and talking to them about these particular options and control methods that may or may not have proven effective over time. As you can see, we're talking about a variety of biological controls, mechanical controls, and interestingly, I think these last two research topics include some of the specific physical settings and facilities that we're looking at within the Tahoe Keys. In particular, we've gotten some creative thinking and suggestions over the last year regarding the possibility of maybe even putting up barriers within portions of the lagoons, dredging out those areas that have sediment with the seedbed in them. And then lastly, as you see here on the list, the possibility of using the circulation system that's been there at the Keys since the Keys were constructed, but recommissioning that circulating system maybe to help either improve water quality or possibly use it to physically filter fragments out of the lagoons that may all help contribute to bringing the weeds under control. So at this point, I'd like to go ahead and turn it over to Dr. Anderson to talk about our 2016 field activities.
Good morning. So as Rick has mentioned, as a consequence of a lot of the comments we had on our plan, we put together some research projects for this year to get us a lot more information on what we can do in the next several years to integrate into the program. So we're going to look at harvesting practices and strategies. One thing we have noticed over the years is that harvesting creates a fair number of fragments that can be transported to Lake Harbor. So one of the objectives is to reduce those fragments during the harvesting season. But we'll be looking at collection practices, perhaps boats with different screening devices on the front to collect those fragments, and modifications in the way that the harvesting is done to minimize fragment movement in the feed. We're going to look at some herbicide testing and mesocotyling. This is important because it allows us to have a near field environment where we can test the efficacy of herbicides that have been used elsewhere. Particularly this year, we've done this in the past, but we have not included one of the prime problems that we have at the Keys, which is curly leaf pondweed. So it's going to be included in the mesocotyling study this year. These are all done off-site, so they're next to the lake, but we don't use lake. There's no connection with the lake during the study. We're going to be doing some more continuation of our dye studies that we began in 2011. This is primarily to determine some questions about movement of materials that are dissolved within the Keys, such as herbicides, where they would go, how fast they dissipate, I'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll be looking at a really interesting and new possibility, which is using UV light to control aquatic plants. This has been used for many years to control algae in closed systems, recirculating systems, and so on. But we have our collaborator we're working with who's been looking at this to control rooted aquatic plants. And so it's a pretty unique process. We're at the beginning stages of looking at whether it's practical, what the efficacy is, and the actual ability to deploy this in a system such as the peas. And then we look at this last item that Rick mentioned. We're concerned about the possibility of integrating herbicides into our plan. We had that in our original draft, and we would like to do some further studies in 2017 based on some of the work we're doing this year. Keep in mind that the herbicides that we're considering have been used throughout the U.S. for about 25 to 30 years, and all of them have been cleared through U.S. EPA and Cal EPA EPR. So the strategies for the collection of fragments include the use of boats that will have nets on the front. We'll be looking at strategies for harvesting, where we're basing that on our twice-monthly hydrocarbon surveys of plants. So this is really tying the harvesting to the actual conditions in the field. In prior years, the harvesters went out and sort of ad hoc were sampling plants, and some sampling, but mostly it was harvesting where the worst plants were. We're going to be looking at twice a month sampling the plants by surveying and going to those points where we need to have the most activity on the plants for harvesting. We did a study before to show that we had 3,000 to 4,000 fragments per harvested acre created by harvesters. So it's a real concern to do this right. The mesothelioma study is set up near the lake, near Lake Platte, on Kiki BOA property. This was the rate from last year. We're setting it up this year. These tanks allow us to do comparison of herbicides using small contained containers inside. This one happened to be used for rosemary milfoil. As I said, we're going to be looking at milfoil, coontail, another problem is in the peas, as well as clearly the pondweed. So three species, three or four herbicides we'll be looking at over a 2 to 3 month period with this system. Gives us a good idea about how well these work and how well they work individually with the kinds of species we're looking at, with different kinds of herbicides. We have natural lighting, we have natural substrate, we have the water from the peas, the plants from the peas, but there's no connection to the peas, so these are separate contained mesothelioma studies. For the rhodamine dye, we're going to be looking at three sites this year. One of the sites, as you'll see in the top arrow, is located at the top by the channel on the west end. And the reason for putting dye there is to see if we ever had a residue that arrived at that spot, would it exit the channel into the lake proper. So that's the reason for putting one site there. The two bottom sites came up from further discussions in the plan, and those are going to be sites that will have containment curtains around those sites. And the idea of this is to see if the curtains will contain dissolved material within those the sites so that the dye behaves as a surrogate for a herbicide that might be dissolved, for example. We'll be using double curtains. That little diagram on the right shows that we'll be using two curtains and sampling inside the curtain, between the curtains, and outside the curtain. See if the dye actually moves there. This is important, too, because it will help us inform us about contingency plans if we have a detection someplace where we don't want it. The sampling in the lake after the dye is applied is indicated here, so we're going to be doing some wide-scale sampling throughout the Keys as well as in the lake, because we want to be able to detect anything that has actually exited the lake if it does. And we do this by a continuous flow thermometer, which can get us down to about 50 parts per trillion dye. So the dye, you never can see it, but the thermometer can detect it quite well at those levels. We did this kind of a study in 2011 and found that during the extreme period, water is coming into the Keys. So it's filling up and it behaves as a dead-end kind of a site, so things don't move out. For the 2017 pilot herbicide demonstration study, these are the sites we're considering right now. We're looking at range from anywhere from 10 to 20 acres. And if you look at the sites that are circled there, these are all dead-end sites where we know that the water movement is very minimal. And so with the herbicides, we're looking at three types of herbicides. Some of the same ones we're looking in the mesocosm study. And what we hope to find in 2017 is how well these work in the field, how well they allow the native plants to recover, which is really an important component of our integrated plan. And so if we get approval to do this in 2017, we'll have some real good field data to know how we can integrate these into the overall program for the management of aquatic plants. I should indicate that in many cases, for example, in Discovery Bay, this kind of approach has been extremely effective in controlling those invasive weeds that are there. There's some rationale for using this kind of demonstration. We want to use representative sites. That's why I've chosen 6 to 9 sites to apply the herbicides in 2017. We want to have replication so we know we're getting reliable data that we can use at the end. They have to be large enough, at least 1 acre, to get reasonable data from the studies. And we're only going to do, as I said, we're only going to use USDA-approved, CalicA-approved aquatic herbicides that have been used throughout the U.S. in the last 25 or 30 years. These herbicides have different modes of action, so we're looking at different selectivity, and that's the other reason for having multiple sites for testing. And these are all readily monitored using immunoassays, so we can get data back within 24 to 48 hours about what the actual residues are in the water column itself. And then, as I mentioned before, we're looking at containment plants this year to see how well we contain those if we need to in the system. So the small-scale herbicide demonstrations are require a permit, which we'll be submitting to the Water Board next month. This is all part of a general permit plan that's used throughout the state of California. In fact, it's throughout the U.S. as well. We anticipate a negative CEQA declaration, and hopefully this will be a way to get this permit through so we can do our 2017 applications. And we'll be working with the Water Board staff to adjust that permit application to suit the needs of the Water Board and make sure that we're in compliance if we do that. I think we're out of time for questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Dr. Anderson? Mr. Bass? Mr. Sandel? Well, I have a question. I'm not sure they're for you, though.
Okay.
I don't know who the best person to speak to this issue is, but I'm curious about the outreach of TKCOA to the public water supply community and if you're coordinating with them and all that. So if you could address that.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. We have been meeting on a regular basis with the Tahoe Water Suppliers Association and other stakeholders since, I want to say, probably October or November of last year, discussing the scope of comments that have been received on the plan, what are the activities that we're looking at doing this year and next. And in fact, we recently met with them just about a week and a half ago. And in that meeting, we discussed the activities and herbicide permit application that Dr. Anderson just covered here. And as a result of that meeting, we actually have modified our current plans for the RWP dye study, and also we're looking at modifying our plans for our herbicide permit application as a result of those consultations. So we are regularly meeting with them, discussing approaches, options, rationales, what makes the most sense, while at the same time also I would say jointly recognizing that there's somewhat of an urgency here that we do need to move forward with implementing these various activities so that we can try to find those solutions in relatively, you know, in the relative near term as opposed to the long term, because as we know, the weeds are not getting better, and the threat to Lake Tahoe proper, especially from the curly leaf pondweed, is more significant than ever. So I hope I answered your question. It's a little bit long-winded.
No, that's fine. Thank you. I'm just curious, does anybody from the Water Supply Agency want to address? Come on up and state your name and who you represent and all that. You can fill out the yellow form later.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Madonna Dunbar. I'm the executive director of the Tahoe Water Suppliers Association, which represents 11 of the major municipal water suppliers here at Lake Tahoe. Rick covered pretty well some of the process. The Tahoe Water Suppliers Association is really encouraged by the exploration into continued exploration and potential for all the non-chemical methods. We realize that herbicides can be effective, that they're low cost. A lot of the issue here on management is how much are these things going to cost. We have been working very closely with the Tahoe Keys Water Quality Working Group, and we're certainly not in agreement about the overall use of herbicides. Our board is still unified in opposition to it due to the fact that Lake Tahoe is a Tier 3 Outstanding National Resource Water Body, and that six of our intakes, our treatment process for the communities is filtration exempt, which changes the dynamics. These herbicides have been tested and used in other water bodies. None of them are Tier 3. None of them, to my knowledge, have treatment processes using ozone or ultraviolet. Most municipal water systems use filtration. However, we're working together. We're really encouraged. They've been super responsive. One of the discussions we have at every quarterly board meeting is, the potential for the use of herbicides is very real. The issue of the herbicide, the weeds, needs to be addressed, and it needs to be, in a manner that can happen. It can't be $90 billion if the Keys doesn't have $90 billion. So we're kind of coming down to mitigation. What type of mitigation would be acceptable for the drinking water providers with filtration exemption? And that's where we're moving more into containment and mitigation. When 2 weeks ago at the TRPA presentation, the dye test was all at the channels, and we said, well, that's great to know where it's going, but what about the mitigation methods that may need to be used? Basically, if this is going to happen and move forward, the water providers are going to want to know that nothing's coming out from the treatment area to access any of the larger area of water. And that's where the testing with the mitigation and also having a backup plan. Do we need to think about, should the water be treated with a portable filtration plant before it's released back into the main water body? That's an option that hasn't even really been talked about, but it's kind of common in some areas where you need emergency water treatment. So the process is still a lot to go. We're really excited that we're involved. We're grateful we're involved. We want to be involved. And we're going to be involved in providing comment when we see the herbicide application. And again, I think the question of, this is Tahoe. This is a problem that we do need to address because it really affects the greater Tahoe area, and it's all focused in the Keys. But that question of how much do we use an herbicide? Is this, we do this once or twice to try to nail everything and get it down, and then only mechanical methods are allowed later. The question of long-term is one that lingers. Also the question of combination of herbicides, are there concerns we need about the effects of that? So thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions for Ms. Dunbar? Thank you. Thanks. Was very helpful to have your explanation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that you all are talking to each other and working together and figuring out a way to go forward that you all can agree to at this stage. That's very encouraging. So keep going. That's great. Any more comments for public comment? Oh, here's Mr. Teixeira.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, staff, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Steve Teixeira, and I'm here today in my capacity as chair of the TRPA Advisory Planning Commission. I've served on the APC for a couple of years now, and a couple of years ago, there was an opportunity for me to be elected by my colleagues as the chair. And in doing so, I wanted to reach out and identify somebody that was on the APC that I thought would be an excellent colleague to be part of the APC leadership team. And so while you're all here assembled today, I wanted to say thank you to Patty for allowing Bob Larson to serve in the vice chair capacity. And we actually got elected for a second two-year term earlier this year. And Bob's a terrific member of APC. He's an excellent partner as a member of the leadership team of the body. And I just wanted to say thank you and to honor him for his service. I know he got a lot on his plate here at the board and the staff, but he really is making a difference in a positive way as an APC member and as our vice chair. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's more good news. All good news this morning. Great. Okay. So with that, I think we're done with public forum. Nobody else has any comments for public forum. The next item on our agenda is to adopt the uncontested calendar. Today, we only have one item, which is to renew a waiver of filing WDR for specific types of projects or discharges regulated by the Tahoe Regional Agency. Sorry. So do I hear a motion about adopting the uncontested
calendar? I move adoption.
Moved by Mr. Sandel.
Second.
Second by Mr. Jardine. Roll call vote. Mr. Jardine?
Aye.
Mr. Sandel?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Aye.
And I'll say aye as well, so we adopt the uncontested calendar. Now we move to the starring show of the day, the item number 10, the Lake Tahoe program. Huh?
Nine.
Sorry, nine. Thank you.